Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would certainly love to hear from you, so send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, our guest, we have Dr. Eric Warren. He is an associate professor and the director of the National Hybrid Schools Project at Kennesaw State University. Based on his research, Dr. Warren helps families and parish communities overcome the issues that our modern education system presents us in this day and time in 2024. And it's rather scary, isn't it? You could go to his website. It's ColesCollege.com/hybrid. ColesCollege.com/hybrid. And yes, another thing for its time has come.
Yeah.
And we were educated in New Jersey in the public schools when the public schools were lined up with your home,
yeah,
with the church, and it was all good. And so you had this united front, right, of God and country and your family and everybody and the teacher. Something went wrong in the school. The teacher was going to tell your mother. By the time you got home, your mother already knew about it. And it was a perfect land. It was like an oasis. It was the way schools were meant to be.
Yeah.
And education was fun. And we learned cursive. And we learned reading and writing and arithmetic.
Yeah.
And we got a good education in New Jersey.
And our children, you're going back 35 years or so, and their education, had them in public schools. There's still a very sound Christian basis there. And they were just dealing with subjects.
Right.
As long as that's going on. But now, of course, we got a whole nother deal. And many of you know about that. Maybe there are some public schools that are doing well. Others are indoctrinating our children. We know something about homeschooling. Now we're hearing this term hybrid schooling, a combination of kind of studying at home, studying at a brick and mortar facility as well, combining things together, getting the best of that which you can possibly get. And this movement is spreading.
Yes.
People have the right to pioneer in this area, mm-hmm, and to do the education that they feel is the best for their child, and to do that at a good cost, mm-hmm, so that everybody isn't priced out of it. Especially the middle class seems to get outpriced.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot for disadvantage. There's a lot for the wealthy. They can choose what they want to do. But it's the middle class that's saying, well, I want to move, but I can't quite move from the public school. So this is a part of the awakening, mm-hmm, in our country and the renewing of the church. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Learn about hybrid schools. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we have Dr. Eric Warren. He is an associate professor and the director of the National Hybrid Schools Project at Kennesaw State University. Based on his research, Dr. Warren helps families and parish communities overcome the issues that our modern education system presents us. You can go to the website. It's ColesCollege.com/hybrid. So stay tuned, buckle up, you're gonna learn something new, as Jim and I have always learning something new here on EWTN. Well, we are excited to have you and what you're gonna share with us today and our family. But first we want you to tell our family a little bit about yourself, where you're from and your children and why hybrid schools.
Well, sure. So as you said, I'm the director of the National Hybrid Schools Project at Kennesaw State, and we do academic research on these schools and convenings of them and outreach to help them with their operations. But the way I got involved in this in the first place is as a parent. So my wife and I had the first two of our eventual seven kids, and they were in perfectly fine, conventional five-day public schools. But we have a very common story, which is that we were getting busier and busier. We kept having kids, and so mm-hmm. that only increased. Mm-hmm. And so we were circling this Catholic hybrid school in our area for a while, going back and forth about whether we should join it or not. So we went in and spoke with the founders, and we said, you know, we're really interested in your program, but you only go up to eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to make this big jump to this strange-looking school, we want to be all in and stay all the way through. And they said, well, that's very interesting. A lot of parents are saying that. You, Eric, and your wife are both former high school teachers. Would you like to start the high school program for us?
Tag, you're in.
Yeah, so this is you know, 10 or 12 years ago, so we're much younger. And so we said, that sounds like a great idea. So we did it. We jumped in. We started with four high schoolers. I think we graduated 42 last year. Mm-hmm. But as that was going, you know, I've always done research on various aspects of school choice, but no one was really writing about these kind of interesting startup school models. So I started writing about it, and one thing led to another. I did several academic papers, and I pulled all that and some new material into a book and handed it over to a publisher in spring of 2020. And a few weeks after I did that, we closed every school in the country, and people got really interested in these different kinds of school models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and so a hybrid school looks like this. Traditionally, we go to public school. We go to a private school. Private school can be Catholic, could be Protestant. We have choices, right? But we, if we're going, opting out of the public school, the parents are bankrolling that, okay? So that's like an extra added expense. If you have eight kids, that's a big ticket item. It's usually always more than the mortgage. We had three in Catholic school, it's more than a mortgage. And so there's homeschooling. And parents do that. So hybrid is what? What does that look like? So you said when you connected with it, they only went to the eighth grade. So what does hybrid look like for the mom who's at home and she needs help? Maybe she's not the greatest math teacher or science is in her arena. And so she wants help, but she wants to still do homeschooling.
Yeah, sure. So the way that these usually typically look is, two or three days a week is the normal pattern. The kids will go to a building with classmates and teachers and desks and all of this. And the other days they're homeschooled. Mm-hmm. And so on the days that they're at school, it looks like a school. Mm-hmm. Right? And on the days that they're at home, they may have lesson plans that they print out or that mom prints out or dad prints out that the kids work through at their own pace during the day. The parents may be kind of going over workbooks or maybe quizzes or things like that at home. Mm-hmm. And so, but it varies a lot, right? Yeah. So some schools are very structured on their home days and other schools are very loose. Mm-hmm. So they might just be doing enrichment on those home days. Mm-hmm. So the partial days or partial weeks at school and partial weeks at home are one aspect. The other aspect that leads them to be what I call hybrid schools is that the school directs most of the curriculum, mm-hmm. right? So you might think of them as sort of more formal versions of something like a homeschool co-op, mm-hmm. right? So it's not typically where the kids are taking a class or two here and there, but the school really is driving most of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the brick and mortar place is usually a school. So are these like Protestant schools, Catholic schools? Mm-hmm. Is it anything beyond that, or are they those kind of schools?
Yeah, so I'm glad I started doing research as long ago as I did, because mm-hmm. COVID really changed a lot of things,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
So prior to COVID, I would say the vast majority of the schools were private and some version of a Christian school, like Catholic or Protestant. And most of the families had some background at some point in their past as a full-time homeschooler, right? Since COVID, many more people are interested, mm-hmm. right? So the pie's gotten bigger. So we've got many more private Christian and Catholic and all kinds of schools. But we've also got other secular types that are interested now. People who in the past might've just said, you know, my choices are either the public school down the street or the private school down the street. Mm-hmm. Now they say, well, you know, my nephew goes to one of these schools or my neighbor has gone to one of these schools and they seem to be turning out okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll choose the hybrid school too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we had family members who mm-hmm. were homeschooled and went to Villanova. Mm-hmm. You know, so people and the rest of the family were like, what? Like, how did that happen? Or Vanderbilt, and they're like, how is this happening? Because those are, because they are being trained, they are being schooled, they are being tested, and they are above the rim, right? And so, because I think out in the culture, we all think, oh, they're not gonna be normal, they won't get a good education, they're gonna be dumbed down, when actually the exact opposite is happening, right?
Well, I think this is actually, this whole sector is a really healthy development in American society. And I should say, this is not a new thing, right? It's newly popular maybe, but in my research, I found some of these schools are 30 years old. So we've got 30 plus year proof of concept of this model. So when we started the high school, we were very nervous. Is anyone going to get into college? Right. I don't know. And then the first year, we had kids getting into Notre Dame, into Georgia Tech, into all these other kinds of places. But I think it's a healthy development because we've gotten used to, as a society, kind of letting other people handle everything for us, right? We turn over the keys and say, you do this for me, do that for me. But these schools are really a great example of, you know, small local communities coming together and just solving a really personal day-to-day problem for themselves by standing up a school.
Right. Well, you point out a real weakness in that many of us as parents just want to turn our child over. And you cannot, you should not do that, number one, because the church teaches us that the parents are the first and chief educators of our children. And there's too many of us within the Catholic Church and even Protestant Church that are just going along this line of you know, delegating this totally outside of themselves. Now, even as a committed, dedicated parent regarding education, you can delegate, but you want to know where you're delegating. To whom am I delegating? What are they teaching beyond math and science, and what kind of cultural milieu you find yourself in? And are we getting this kind of, you know, inclusion and equity, you know, teaching that's there, and they're veering off into sexuality issues, gender ideology, and all of this. So we can't delegate that to that group of people. And I really do think it's speaking with you and looking at this, and I've always, not always thought, but over the last 30 years or so, this whole thing of awakening in our country, that a part of that awakening and the renewal of the church has to be the educational component. That there needs to be some kind of level playing field of choices that are there. We could even shake some of the money, I know this is dangerous, out of the government to help with some of these things. Or some might say, I don't want anything to do with that. That's okay, that's your choice. But I think the more competition, the more free association that's allowed, even if it can happen with the government to some degree, if it can't, then people just associate with one another. And with these entities like Catholic churches, Protestant churches, but it could shake out that people don't want anything to do with that, so they're gonna associate with other people that are trying to do well in the field of education that's totally devoid, might be very secular, but that's their call. I think this would lead to the betterment of our society, of our culture. Are you encouraged that you're seeing it begin to take place, this kind of competition or choices that are taking place?
Yeah, well, you mentioned two things that I want to address. One is delegation, right? Like, it's okay to delegate things to other people, right? We don't all do our own dentistry, right? You pick someone else to do that for you, hopefully, in most cases.
Thank God.
Yeah. So it's okay to delegate some part of your kid's education to someone else who's able to handle it better for you. The question is, at what level should you delegate it to? Should you delegate it all the way up to you know, the federal government or the state or someone like that? Or should you delegate it to someone closer to home, maybe your parish level? So that's one. But the second part of what you said about kind of competition and you know, choosing the kind of people who you know, you bring into your family is an important one, right?
Absolutely.
And this is kind of the choice that we face, right? We can either set up a system where we've got everyone kind of building local entities to serve their families the ways that they want them to be served in their schools, or we can just fight it out at the state level and have, you know, your team forcing the other team to learn everything you want, and then When you lose power, it goes back the other way. Mm-hmm. So I actually think it's a really healthy development to kind of turn the temperature down on the culture wars, to have more options available for people to choose the schools that they like for their families.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, because you can get lost in the battle, mm-hmm. and meanwhile, your children's education's on the line because you're trying to win a war. And God's saying, in the meantime, you need to still educate your child because you're trying to fight a system. And he's saying, but look, here's another system. There's another way, you know, which is a beautiful thing because before there weren't choices, right? There wasn't a choice. You either had to homeschool, you had to put them in the public school, or you had to bankroll and maybe, you know, put yourself in the poorhouse mm-hmm. just trying to get your kids educated. So that's really difficult. So this is a beautiful thing that has come forth to say, there's another way, there's a way we can do this. It's both, right? For boys and girls, that you're not sacrificing your family. Because I was the president of the PTA. I mean, it was crazy. Time and energy mm-hmm. and things that you fought for. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, my kid's going to be in college when all this is supposed to come take place. But now you can do something today, get involved, do something now.
That's
make
right.
a and difference.
It's, and it's not to say that these are easy to set up, right?
They
are, you know, you could say they're easier to set up than something like a charter school where you have to get many levels of permission to open your school mm-hmm. or a 5-day private school that takes a lot more fundraising to support a building and, mm-hmm. You know, full-time mm-hmm. salaries and benefits and things like this. But you mentioned, you know, the ways you get choice. Historically, there are two ways, right? Like you said, either be wealthy enough to mm-hmm. pay for it, or you need to be poor enough or live in an area with schools that we consider failing. And those are the ones that we target school choice programs mm-hmm. at, right? So these hybrid schools kind of come in between those two extremes. Because they're so part-time, the teachers are very part-time typically. They're usually paid hourly and usually not with benefits, mm-hmm. Which allows you to draw in a different kind of person. But it also drops the tuition by half or a third compared to a lot of private schools. So this opens up these schools to families who might make enough money not to live in a bad school district, mm-hmm. but not enough to pay for college tuition, especially if they have multiple kids, mm-hmm. right? So these hybrid schools are opening up school choice for a lot of the yeah. kind of the broad middle income mm-hmm. spectrum of the income distribution.
Yeah, excellent.
We feel this in our own family mm-hmm. with our children and many other people that fall into that middle class. Of not poor enough to get some of the benefits, not wealthy enough to go another way. And so you're saying that this is a way to get the best of education at the best price.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, but it takes a lot of work on the family part too, because like as you mentioned, there still needs to be someone home with the mm-hmm. kids. So different schools are working on different ways to kind of provide access for families that don't have somebody at home. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of, a good turn of events, too, as the field evolves and grows. You know, we'll hopefully come up with answers to things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I love that it's coming from the people, mm-hmm. from the need. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. we look to the church to solve this problem, or we're looking to the government to solve this problem. And here, it was kind of like, bless your heart, you and your wife. It's like, Tag, would you like to be the high school teachers? It's like, no, we're just trying to figure this out ourselves. But that's what God does, right?
That's right.
And you say, here I am, Lord, use me. I got to create this way so I'm going to be a pioneer in this and make this happen.
That's right. And it's not just, I mean, my wife and I are very normal. Like, there are millions of us around the country, you mm-hmm. know, and our school takes... You know, there was another group of people who founded it and mm-hmm. are still there. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, 100 other people who are just involved in different
right.
aspects of it.
Right.
But we're all very normal.
Right.
Right. Like
mm-hmm.
this can be done in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was not familiar with the term hybrid. So it's kind of like a blending or a mixing, like you said, brick and mortar school, some offerings that are there, the homeschooling, which people are more familiar with. With the hybrid schools, I know there's something called micro schools, there's hybrid schools. There's the, what did you call it, with the government still being in it? Charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is that about? That's the government still run, but you got something there. And you got the thing with vouchers, if they would just give the $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to everybody and let them, that would help a lot, I think. And you can still do the hybrid school and have the money that you need. You talked early in the show and in terms of what we've been saying. Oh, it's 30 seconds to break, okay. Well, we'll talk more just about the hybrid schools.
Great.
And some of the problems that have led to the creation of this. Such an important area that we're speaking about, education, and we are the stewards of the education of our children, and we need to choose the best course for them to glorify the Lord in what they learn and what they see and the culture they're in. We'll be right back, plenty more to come. Don't go away. Welcome back. Speaking with Dr. Warren from Kennesaw State, works with the National Hybrid Schools Project. At the close, I was, you know, looking at public schools and what the government's trying to do, and I mentioned vouchers, and maybe I said it like it's a cure-all, and maybe it is, maybe it's not. It was just interesting. It seems good to have the money there. What's your thought on the voucher system and what people need and so on?
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of states passing things like new models of vouchers, right? So tuition tax credits, where you can donate some of your state taxes and they go back out in scholarships, or education savings accounts, which are sort of very simply sort of like debit cards that parents can use for various things. And those are helpful. They can be helpful. But with these hybrid schools, like I said, some of them have been around for 30 years. So people are starting them even without that kind of help, right? The main point is, you know, to get a group of people, of like-minded people together and just go do it, right? And, you know, my center can provide some help with that kind of thing. I hear from people all the time who say, you know, I've got a really good idea for a school, but I don't know what step one is. And we can connect them with other people or kind of provide some assistance with getting started.
So you're continually looking at, hearing about, assessing various hybrid schools, best practices that are going on. You're on top of that. And so people can connect with you. And then you have a big event that takes place yearly. What is that about?
Yeah, we have a national conference every April where people come in and they can learn about what other people are doing with their hybrid schools. We get policymakers who come and researchers just to learn about this field, because everything is blowing up and evolving so fast.
Well, it's rather organic, but the beautiful thing about it is that there, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's kind of like there are people who have already gone before who have pioneered the way, so it shouldn't be like it's an insurmountable task and just say, oh, quit, because that's what happens. People get so frustrated and they quit, and so here they can get in touch with you and say, show us the way, which would be perfect.
And they're so focused on their work, you know, they're starting schools, they're running a small nonprofit, and a lot of them are homeschooling their kids on some days. And so they don't know that there's a school just like theirs one state over. So hopefully my conference helps bring them together.
And it's really important. We find that with our pregnancy medical center, crisis pregnancy centers, and we have so many people that hear about the work we're doing, and then they want to start one, which is okay, but we have an outlet that says, just put in your zip code and see if there's one by you. So you don't have to often create these things. They already exist. You look at the curricula that they're using, and you say, you know, I'm on board with that already.
That's right.
Are you encouraged?
That's right.
And what's happening in education?
I hear from strangers all the time. It makes me happy, because people are just realizing that, you know, we can do more for our kids.
Because the frustration as a parent, and even as a grandparent, is that you're stuck. And there isn't a way out. And so I'm just going to have to knuckle down and do this. And then, but you can't deprogram a child. As you're carting off a child to kindergarten these days, they're being taken over by a system, by an entity that you are not in line with. And so it is, it's just rather awful. So we have to be very wise.
Well, we thank God that we have you again tomorrow to unpack this more fully. It's such an important subject, reality. Because I really do believe what we're doing regarding education, everybody said, oh, we're all about education. What education? What are the components of your education? What are they teaching culturally? What are they teaching, if anything, about sexuality, gender ideology? But thank God we're in America. We have a constitution. We have freedom of speech, assembly, and we need competition. We need education that can't compete. So God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.